previously on Your T's and Q's season wrap-up show.
Okay, let's we'll take a break here. Go to Tonya World, who's calling in on the line. To Tonya, what's going on? You're on Bucks at 60, man. What's up?
What's up, Trey? This is Dario Melendez, man. How you doing, bro?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I heard you talking bad about me, man. I don't like it. Look, is Bud gone? Yes. Chris gone? Yes. I just want to say this. I don't take up the whole show. I'm just going to say this. The Bucks played Chris Middleton 25 minutes a game, and we were unstoppable, unbeatable till March 1st. To that point, you know, the idiot coach Bud did what he did. His personal problems are truly tragic, and we're all very sad about this, man. But at a certain point, we have to face the fact of what took place. The history of all of this has been littered with guys like Mike McCarthy going back to Sal Bando. There's never been a coach where we were like, man, you know, we gave up on him too soon. The Bud thing is completely run its course, and at this point, Bud can go, Chris can go. If Drew wants to go, Drew can go. But, like, the whole thing is Giannis. Like, we want to make it about all these other guys. It's always been about Giannis. It remains about Giannis. Everybody else, suspect character.
I cannot argue with anything you said to Tony World. Good call, and appreciate it. I don't think he's necessarily wrong at all.
Previously on 1-6, the summer after the Bucks won the 2021 title.
Shout out to Frank Madden. I was pulling audio because, like I said, I'm kind of working on this video, but it's still kind of in the planning stage. Giannis goes down with the knee, and he says all the right things for 3 minutes. I'm devastated for him. I'm so sad for him. I love him. All of this stuff like that. ... And now we'll never be able to fire Budenholzer. Was like the next thing. And that's how we felt after game 4 in the Hawks. Now we're never going to be able to fire this guy. That's, again, I'm totally on the Tresky, can we call it the Tresky doctrine? I'm totally on the Tresky doctrine. Like, maybe we get the buyout Jay Crowder type guy every year now, or we just kind of get some other piece and we'll be in kind of that mix. Like, it's a battle now, right? I think the Nets will come back, but that would involve me thinking that James Harden could actually win a title, which is,
it's all coming together at the end. This is incredible.
No, but I'm just saying, like, next year we'll probably lose to the Nets, and then the year after that, we make a trade. Not saying who. Somebody with
this,
a number.
This sounds like a guy who's out, all right. He's planning trades the year after next.
Hey, I'm just saying, maybe we trade a guy with his number between 21 and 23, and we do some kind of thing. But either way, that's fun, right? So, like, winning a championship isn't necessarily satisfying.
I can't believe you're trading Drew Holiday after saying. I mean, between 21 and 23?
So, somewhere in 2024, there's a kid in a different market who saw Drew Holiday in the finals and is like, wait, Drew Holiday is awesome. My team just traded for him. And that's how I felt with Gary Payton.
Five-minute episode. Just have a couple of minutes here. Couple questions. Let's just say the questions at the beginning. We can just talk. Kind of the problem with the podcast. The reason the podcast is kind of shuttered for many, many, many people. Very flattering. Many, many people reaching out about the podcast saying, I kind of missed the podcast. Other people saying nice things like, yours was the only one I felt comfortable listening to after the Bucks lost. People were kind of into the phone mumbler, so people were kind of into that. And then also Spotify keeps giving me takedown notices. Like, I think the 007 episode is lost to history, although I'm sure I have the file somewhere. Or the thing I'm actually not sure is if it's just off Spotify and it's still on CastBox, or they keep changing the rules. So the combination of episodes getting taken down and me wanting to just kind of make one YouTube video every couple of months on a bigger topic, because the thing about at least making you, there's like a permanence to me doing a YouTube video. And if I do a YouTube video, I'm basically always going to be like 90% happy with it. Although even with that, there's things where you're like, oh, you know, I meant to make one more point and I didn't. A perfect example, Basketball is Beautiful Chapter 2. I wanted to rip Harden at the end of that and didn't, and just kind of forgot about it. And I wanted to say something else. There's the part, there's a part where I'm talking about guys doing weird stuff to differentiate yourself because you're comparing yourself to Jordan for no reason. And I certainly, had I thought to do it, would have also put the whole Bronny James, I'm the GOAT if I play with my son. If my son comes into the league and I play with him, well, that makes me the GOAT, like, kind of nonsense. Thanks, everybody, for the support of that. If you are listening to this and you have not retweeted the video, like, go ahead and get on that, please. But thanks for all that. We did it for love. So that's kind of the thinking. But if people are down with the 7-minute phone mumblers, I can still do that. Obviously, this is not the phone. I can do that every once in a while because that's fine. That's 10 minutes and we just kind of get that out of the way. I don't think I can do the produce. Like, it breaks my heart to produce a podcast episode like an OCD psycho and then have it get taken down. It just kind of doesn't work. And funny enough, like the one that actually got one of the 7 or so that got taken down, again, I'm not sure if on Spotify or not, was the one where we talked about how they keep taking down the Prince Purple and Gold song. And so, yes, the Purple and Gold song was the reason that one got taken down. I'm not really sure. It would seem to be, this is not why anybody came here to listen to this, so sorry, but like, it would seem to me that if I talk over the track in the background, or if it's like a karaoke level track, then sometimes that goes through. But like, out of all the 007, out of all the songs, the Billie Eilish one was the one that got it taken down. So if something really, really makes me mad after a Bucks game or when we finally trade Chris, of course there'll be a podcast. But the whole idea was, well, hey, if I'm recording a podcast and wasting a Friday night and then I'm spending another 3 hours editing it, how about I save all that time and just give you a YouTube video once every 3 months? And so that's kind of the thought there. So we have 3 questions. Let's just tackle them all at the same time and answer none of them and try to say some stuff. At MKE Robert asks, are we aiming high enough with Brad Beal? Thank you for that. Brennan Olin at Brennan Olin asks us 2 questions. Who's my top target in a potential Drew or Chris trade? And do you feel hopeless for the Bucks title hopes if they come back with the same big 3? So I feel like all 3 of these can be answered in the same kind of ramble. And then everybody, let's find the tweet I sent that made everybody, well, I don't feel like it made everybody mad. It made people want to get mad, where I said, basically everyone knows Drew is talk retirement and is sketchy. Chris doesn't affect winning, can't guard anyone, and has worse handles than Jaylen Brown, which is obviously, of course, what made people mad. And 3, Giannis is Giannis. So let's chop it up. I've always liked Bradley Beal. But you kind of level-wise and fit-wise would have had to have known that that's just a notch up. It's a notch up over any version of Chris, and it may be kind of a decent level of Beal. Frankly, is probably in line with regular season Drew. Because regular season Drew is really, really good. The problem with all of this, so let's just make everybody mad right off the jump, okay? It's not like I like saying this stuff. But I just got to be true to what it is. The lineup is good enough. The problem is Giannis. The lineup is good enough. The problem is Giannis. The lineup is good enough. The problem is Giannis. So you have to ask yourself at this point, is Drew and Pat and Chris and you know, Splash Mountain and whoever else, that general cast of characters, as a baseline, but the general cast of characters, then take out Giannis and put Tim Duncan in. Bet. We're good. That's a championship team. And that's a championship team 4 out of 6 years. Maybe wins 2, maybe makes another couple finals. That's it. That's a team. But okay, that's like the 5th greatest player of all time, between the 5th and the 10th, right? So whatever. But to make the most extreme baseline of a guy who just brought all this kind of stuff to the table and took nothing off the table, I think Tim Duncan is a pretty good name to talk about. The problem with Giannis is he takes stuff off the table. And as we've seen, look, man, I told everybody, like, people wanted to be racist and not see what was going on with Joker. It's been pretty obvious for about 4 years. Like, when he made that last jump, how incredible Joker. So I believe, you don't have to believe anything. This is not recency bias. Chris and Drew and Brooke and Pat and name whoever would have went farther with Joker. Take the defense off the table, and then you have to ask yourself, okay, so Giannis adds some of the stuff with defense, but then he takes other stuff off, even just on the defensive side of the ball by not boxing out and doing kind of free safety kind of stuff. So, whatever. If you want to make a case, though, for running it back, I'm not... The problem is now just money, because I was amenable to the idea, because we all saw the kind of inherent problems with Budenholzer. I think I'm more open than most people that the coach fixes a lot of that. And I haven't podcasted since Griffin was hired. Welcome. I'm fully Team Griffin. I've been Team Griffin for a long time. We'll see. He doesn't have to be smarter than Budenholzer. He doesn't like it. It's NBA. Like, I can't. The frustration with so much of the stuff that is said here that I just don't get. Because, like, a lot of times, you know, you rail against, like, 18-year-olds or whatever. But, like, people have been following the Bucks since Giannis. Giannis has been on the team for 10 years. The ebbs and flows of this kind of stuff should be really apparent that, like, people get a new coach and it's a new voice and it works for a year. Like, we can talk, like you're familiar with LeBron's career, right? Like, Mike Brown wasn't, like, a great coach and then became an idiot and then became a great coach again. It's like guys get tuned out, right? Guys have to figure out a way to have a voice, and it's a personality. That's the thing about basketball. It's a beautiful game with all this athleticism and everything else, but it's a team game, and it's a personality dynamic game, and there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. And so I was ready for, frankly, the pimp hand coach. It was time for something else. And didn't somebody say he's got like a doctorate in people management or something like that, leadership, something like that. Whatever the case, I want to see what this is, because the Budenholzer thing, A, had ran his course, and even if it hadn't run his course, so many of the problems are directly... We could attribute them to Budenholzer, right? Because his system is based on, like, just doing nothing, right? I mean, Phil Jackson, I was listening to something like the kind of Phil Jackson podcast he did that went viral. He's talking about basically how he still had beef with Doug Collins because Doug Collins didn't have a system. Like, the point isn't that your system is so great or so genius. It's just like, no, guys need to know when they run on a floor, they need to know what spots to run to. They need to know kind of the basic looks that they want to be in. So I'm far afield. I'm excited for the coach. The problem is, like, can somebody explain to me how there seems to be no real, except for the fringes of either, I've looked at Real GM, I've looked at Reddit, I've looked at Bucks Twitter. Other than the fringy guys like me and like Bucks Truther and some of these kind of other people, how is it that we're on our second Chris poison pill? It was 4 or 5 years ago we were all still debating. Was it six? Whatever it was. Kid was on the way out. Was it the last year? Kid Prunty. Whenever it was. I guess it would have been 2019, right? We came out of choking to the Raptors. And then he got the deal and Brogdon left. That was last year, Brogdon. So what was that, 4 years? Whatever it is. How are we in our second, like, administration of, well, you don't understand the cap. We can't do anything. Just a coincidence, right, that we're dealing with this again. So my patented take, which was proven to be right, 25 minutes worth of Chris I still want. what remains to be seen. Like people, I think, what is it, 4 for 40? I think maybe it's 3 for 140. Not four. It's either 3 or 4 for 140. I don't care. I don't want him back. But more the reason I don't want him back is because we're not going to get the 25-minute version of him that was chef's kiss. Not to go over the box scores again, but first of all, we were the one seed with him not playing hardly anything. And those people who want to talk about his stats in the playoffs, you're a loser. You are a loser, and you don't understand winning. If the sample size of 11 years plus this playoff run, well, I will remind you, we turned him loose. I kept saying it. We kept tweeting it. Don't play him too much and we can lose. Don't play him too much and we can't lose. He also put stuff on the table and takes stuff off the table. Don't play him too much and we can't lose. We gave him the keys. We turned him loose. He shot pretty well, and we lost 4 of 5 to the Miami Heat. Da-da-da-da, his shooting. We lost 4 of 5 to the Miami Heat. Drew was worse. Da-da-da. We lost 4 of 5 to the Miami Heat. By the way, the one game that we won, he had like 10 points or something like that. Everybody else played well. Small sample size, right? But don't you dare, like, block me and unfollow me if you don't understand this by now. And again, season on the line. He's got the ball with 4 seconds left. What's he do? He passes it to Grayson, right? If you are up 14 points in the fourth quarter in consecutive games, that's the offensive specialist's time to shine. It's not Drew Holiday's time to shine. We'd like it to be the MVP candidate's time to shine, but it's typically kind of not. It's supposed to be the offensive specialist's time to shine. And we were up 14 points in both fourth quarters, and Chris Middleton didn't do jack. And it was just like when we lost in 2020 to the Heat, and the one game that we won, we were down 3-0, and everybody wanted to talk about it. At the end of that game, what'd he do? Pass it to Dante? Season on the line. I'm going to rotate it to Dante. Season on the line. We'll give it to Grayson. So miss me with that. But, again, it's the cap. It's the cap. You don't get the cap. You don't get the cap. Great. So fine. I'd be really interested to know, like, what we offered for Beal. Was it Drew or not? And so that's the Chris thing. Well, one more thing on the Chris thing. And I really want to understand, because maybe there's some pushback to this, but I don't get it. How is it we don't understand phony stats yet? Am I missing something with this? It's like the per 36 thing, when people are like, well, hey, actually, if you look at per 36, it's like, how about you just tell me his numbers? And so when people are like doing the Drew Chris true shooting thing, true shooting is a well-established metric, but why is anyone using it? Can someone enlighten me on this? Like, am I being sarcastic earlier? I just really want to know this. The only reason you use true shooting, like, okay, if you're a GM or if you're a stat sheet nerd and you want to put all the players of a certain height or a certain position, you want to, you know, sort them by efficiency, fine. But all true shooting does in the case of a player like Chris, who is not clutch, who's not this, not that, the best Chris Middleton quality is, I think, he's a clutch free throw shooter. But in the playoffs, that might come up every other game. It might come up a lot of games, but it's really going to come up every third game, every half game. We weren't in a lot of these games at the end. But what true shooting does for Chris is it launders all those free throws into his shooting, right? And so I'm not interested. I'm about to bury Drew Holiday in a second. 5-minute podcast. We can talk about Drew. No one's saying Drew wasn't awful. True shooting is not the metric. Like his true, he's not getting to the line. He's not getting to the line because, again, we have 3 freestyle artists, and I mean, that is what that is. So I don't, what would be a better way of saying this? It's like any metric that just begs the next question, I'm always kind of like, well, why are we using this, right? So if points, rebounds, and assists, if we just like didn't take the time to sort by, or if we had points, rebounds, and assists, but it became common practice that we just added them all up. And it was like, how Giannis do last night? Oh, he had a 47.
Jokic had a 51, you know, Embiid only had a 32. You'd be like, all right, which of that is points, rebounds, and assists? Like, it begs the next question. What did he actually do? Right? So what's the point of true shooting? I don't want to know. I want to know what the guy shot from the field because I want to know what the guy shot from the field. Because a lot of times, as everyone knows, there's grifty free throws at the end of any win or loss. Right? So if a guy has a terrible game and is 5 for 15 and 5 turnovers and has an awful game, but at the end of it gets 4 more free throws, it's not really gonna, like, am I wrong about this? Again, set me straight on this. But, like, true shooting for a certain kind of players is just propping up. Well, look at, like, and even for great shooters, like, you also see, like, sorting of historic finals performances. And I think I saw one stat, by the way, Stat Muse. Whew. Well, whatever. I don't have time. 5 minutes. We don't have time to get all this. But it was some sorting of, like, Jokic and Giannis and, like, Kareem. It's, like, some great finals, whatever. And they were doing it by true shooting. I don't care about their true shooting, right? I want to know what they shot. And then you can show me the free throws. Like, somehow every stat combination doesn't show turnovers and doesn't show everything else. But we can get true shooting is too vague. Like, there was one year where Celtics Isaiah Thomas had, like, a greater true shooting than, like, any year of Michael Jordan or something crazy like that. Like, no, just tell me what he shot. How about that? And so that remains my thing. I don't really typically feel like I need to question other people's motives because I think we're all just fans and we all have blind spots and all that kind of stuff is fine. Certainly I have blind spots and we like to root the kind of way we root. But, you know, we remember Jabari Parker, right? We remember how much people were really bothered by all those Jabari defensive efforts, all those lack of closeouts. Where's all those videos now, Joey? Shout out to my guy. How you doing, bro? Where all the I don't feel like, and was that Vine? I mean, it was so long ago it might have been Vine, right? Maybe it was the early days of Twitter videos. But, like, there are all these videos about Jabari Parkers. Where are those for Chris? Right, because it's always this team Chris versus everybody else's team. I don't mean not for Joe, but just in general. Like, I guess people don't care about defense, so we can talk about true shooting, but there's, like, certainly other side to that. But really more, this is not actually the Chris part of the conversation so much as for me. I don't like these weird stats that people use to try to get over. Like, because as we said for many years, once Chris got his numbers up for a couple of months, well, then the per 36 went away, right? Or then when his numbers, when he was at getting up to 35 some minutes, then those numbers went away too, right? Because then you have to per 36 his turnovers up and kind of the bad stuff up too. It's just something people use to, I mean, charitably we could call it spin, right? But again, if you know that you're a spin doctor, that part I'm, like, fine with. That's just whatever. That's just fandom. And again, because it's Twitter and it's all connected, so everybody's spinning stats to 29 other fan bases to beef. And I don't like that, but that is what it is, right? So you're defending your guy versus Embiid or whoever. So I guess I just want to know that people know that they're putting out shady statistics or, like, misleading stats. It would just make me feel better if people knew they were doing it. Because if not, I just question people's ability to use, like, basic logic. So this is a roundabout way of not answering the initial question. I like Beal, but the problem with Beal is the problem is Giannis. And this certainly dovetails, which is funny why people get this. Why do people get this? Why do people think the Suns aren't going to work? Bucks fans. Why do people think the Suns aren't going to work? Because it's three wild card free. Now, it's some of the greatest shooters going, some of the greatest shooters of the last 50 years or whatever. But people generally have smartened up over this to the barbershop mentality that that's too much freestyle, right? Like, and Durant's so dumb that, like, this is kind of the thing. So if you ever want to know, like, if you're ever having a conversation. By the way, thank you everyone in my DMs about how much I should die because of Kobe Bryant. I just calling them balls and strikes. I appreciate everybody who appreciated the video or whatever. But people were really mad that I talked bad about Kobe. I didn't think I just... But they never say where I was wrong. Just I shouldn't say it, I guess. The reason people respect Kobe's game is because that's the kind of game that basketball players respect.
and the AAU culture and such is that it's not, I don't even want to say it's not taught, it's just not a part of these guys' experience that you need a well-rounded team and different cogs and you need different people to fill different holes. And so that has to, at a certain point, ding Durant's greatness, right? Like, that he just couldn't wait to play with Kyrie and Harden and all these guys, right? And Booker. Like Durant and Booker is enough. So if you were picking a team and you were smart, had any kind of sense of basketball history or just kind of a sense of what works, then you would figure out, as LeBron ultimately figured out, that, okay, LeBron, like, was, like, shocked. And at least that was, like, a better setup. It was, LeBron was like, how did I lose with three of the top 12 players and one guy in Bosh who was pretty amenable to, like, taking a tertiary role? I've got, like, Wade, who's the third best player, and I've got myself, and I still lost. And then it was like, okay, so we got to minimize Chalmers and the other guys. We get Battier and Ray Allen, and they had to get all these other pieces, right? We need an enforcer, and we need, you know, and so he had Haslam. We also, it's like Ray Allen isn't enough. We also need Mike Miller, like all this kind of stuff. You need pieces around it. But it's like, no, Durant and them, they're just going to get, like, the three ballin'est hoopers and see how that goes. So to answer your question about Beal, and we can apply this to Van Vliet also, who may or may not be in the market. The problem with adding a guy like that, I'd have been ecstatic. Him for Drew, though, to me is almost a little bit of a wash because we forget a couple of things. The thing is, if Drew is really going to retire, then that's not a secret. So everyone knows that. So trade value-wise, again, people were like, I think people wanted to be a little bit more kind of fair, but it was also like, well, you know, Drew's got higher value, and that was their way of saying, like, hey, I'm not Team Chris, but also maybe Drew has more value because he's better, but also if he's leaving, .. right? The problem with adding, here's how basketball is supposed to work. You need one or two wild cards with a green light. You cannot have more than that, right? And the Warriors are even finding that with now the diminished version of Klay Thompson. Like there's really only Steph and Dame. There's really only so many guys who you can give the green light to like that. Bradley Beal is certainly one of them. Look, the Suns got three of them. But because the problem is culture, and because the problem is Giannis, and because the problem is we'd make no... And again, I hate even using the term adjustments because it's come to mean both more and less of what is sort of implied. The problem with Budenholzer, like I think nerds like really love the idea of in-game tactics, and in-game tactics are important to be sure, but the problem is our culture was play random. Like, every once in a while, you know, there would be nice plays out of timeouts. There would be, like, again, why am I selling you on it? Like, we had 0.5 seconds and didn't call a timeout because the culture was, this is Giannis and Thanasis' team. So adding a gunner whose job it is to have no conscience is not, like, even as much as that would help our overall output, it's not really the thing. So we understand this with the Packers. And every single year with the Brewers or every single other major league team, there's a question, are we buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? Are we trading prospects? Are we mortgaging the future for the current? Are we getting another arm? All of that is a part of every single baseball season. And we understand, I mean, we understood it with Devontae, and Devontae was like a top three receiver, and it was still like, well, we can't quite do this. Are we going to keep Jones? Are we going to keep Devontae? What are we going to do? Like, that's a part of every single decision, every single conversation. And just for whatever reason, it just never has been with Middleton. And we knew, we should have known. We should have known 2016, 2017. We should have known we need more talent. And if you have a guy, repeating myself, and I feel like this is slightly more than 5 minutes at this point, we need another smart guy. Now, again, the hope is still, and I agree with whoever said this on Real GM, that as much as what I just said was the real reason to fire Budenholzer, not playing Marjan and then later on Crowder,
just a fireable offense, just a fireable we knew we would need him like his reps, and we knew we were going to need him down the road to be our homeless man's Kawhi. Like, that's the only way this is now going to work because of the lack of vision of everybody involved. And I'll just keep saying this. By the way, I don't even think, because we were all in our feelings so much about, like, Giannis getting hurt, rightfully so, in the Hawks series, that we don't even think about how in the Hawks series, like, did Trae Young miss a game and a half? And was a DKA in game six, or did he miss 2.5 games? We were thrilled to beat the Hawks. So, does that answer any? What were the actual questions? Because I'm kind of feeling like that doesn't answer. Do I feel hopeless for the Bucks title hopes? Brendan asks, if they come back with the same big three. I don't feel hopeless, but just understand, I'm not being a hater. I've been hopeless the entire time we've employed stupid basketball players to go with our unicorn. The unicorn's job, it'd be great if he had a post game, but he can't do the thing. He just can't do, or is unwilling, or maybe I should give Jokic any more credit. Like, the Nuggets could have very much gone 6 to the Lakers. Like, all those games are close. But it was like, okay, well, I'll just take this 6-foot runner. That's good. And I'm going to do this other move. And I'm going to, like, hit the level of his craft and the angles that he sees and his ability to make ugly passes that are going to kind of, like, bounce off a guy's shin and then Gordon's going to kind of half dunk it. Like, just the level, like, and Murray, just incredible, right? And so, like, the level of play that they can elevate themselves, and all of a sudden that was like a sweep. That was the tightest sweep against the Lakers that I ever saw, and I saw just about every game of that. And so there are just better players, right? If Giannis was better, again, a lot of this stuff is going to go away, but Giannis is going to do stupid stuff. Like getting more than a couple charges in a game is stupid. He can't not do it. And so I don't feel hopeless for the title hopes, because I think, who knows? And I like watching the Bucks, and I like rooting for the Bucks. But kind of want Middleton gone, guys. Kind of feel, again, I just don't. Do you care about winning? Because maybe people don't want to win. Maybe people would just want to, like, people had so much, like, psychic investment in Middleton finally coming through that it's just like, well, they just want to remember. I mean, they just want to remember stuff the way that it didn't happen. And frankly, weird comments continue to be made about, well, it's just the knee surgery, as if, like, the knee surgery is an excuse. There'll be another surgery next year. But again, when you attach yourself to stupid narratives like, hey, that old man's game, That old man game, that'll age well, then I guess you just got to keep rocking with that. And if you say stuff like, I don't want Durant, I want Chris, well, I guess you just kind of keep rocking with that. Like, I don't know. But that kind of seems to be where that's at for me. No, but I'll look forward to the season, whatever. And if they could somehow get Dame, I mean, obviously we're going to be great. But, like, I just don't want to follow a stupid team, just to be honest. Don't really want to. Like, I will. But it's kind of frustrating. I'd rather be go follow the Nuggets then. Like, yeah, I'm kind of a Nuggets fan. It's like beautiful, perfect basketball. And so the cool thing about watching the Nuggets, because the truth is, when you watch the Warriors, and I think I did a postmortem when the Warriors won, also prophetic, talked about, like, what an incredible thing. Incredible run that, like, I think I said something about, boy, Draymond's hard to deal with, and, like, Draymond punched Poole, like, very recently after that. But Poole doesn't solve things either. None of these things solve anything, because, again, remember Brent Forbes. This is somebody should, like, patent or copyright the Brent Forbes corollary. Like, it's every single guy, Korver, we wanted to be this guy. Like, we want a guy to come in and be a flamethrower. And every team looks great when they make a bunch of shots. But what I really want, like, help us, Marjan Beauchamp, you're our only hope. Because we need a real wing at this point. And a lot of the stuff, like, people, like, I know all the highlights that we're all, like, they get put up sometimes, but we all kind of avert our eyes of like Duncan Robinson getting in on Drew, or like Drew bodying up against Jimmy, and kind of how all that went while Middleton picked his nose. The thing is, Drew Holiday still has his body and can still do this kind of stuff, but it's a sloppy move. So you notice again, like what he was again gambling. Like they're all just gambling. They're all just doing kind of their regular season stuff. He's like, well, I could get in front of Duncan Robinson, but now I'm just gonna kind of do what I do, what work with Booker in those games and all this. I'm gonna run sideways and kind of jam my hip into this guy and I'm gonna throw him off. Like he's kind of everybody on this team goes for the hero play. Giannis doesn't want to do the positional stuff. He'd rather, you know, block you from behind. And Drew wants to do the Matador thing. And Chris, you know, wants to try it for 10 minutes here. And so that's kind of where that's at. Is there any other questions? Is there anything else I wanted to say? I feel like this kind of went long. This may be... Look. Here's what I'll say. I'll still be right back to being really interested for the draft. It seems like the only time I've seen Simons play, he's never missed, so I'm biased on the Simons aspect of this. But I'm completely okay with the idea that both of them can go. I don't like and didn't like all of the smoke going on to Drew Holiday because I know the reason for that. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter the reasons for it. I'm just frankly a little bit annoyed that it was like, oh, well, Drew's got to go to get the, like, spotlight out of Chris. Chris has shot just as bad as Drew did most playoff runs. But you saw what happened, right? And by the way, he was super well-rested going into those five games that he won one out of. As the playoffs would have went longer, Middleton would have been even worse. And again, as I say, did the stats that he put up affect winning at all? No. On a perfect day, I know I can count on you. When that's not possible, can you stand the rain? You cannot stand the rain. And that's kind of where we're at. So, go Bucks. This is probably even more depressing than the video I put out. I would imagine every 90 days or so, I'll be so backlogged with mental takes that I'll have to, like, say this again. Don't put your faith in old NBA players with no athleticism, guys. It's really not backed up by anything. It's not backed up by anything. And even if you want to say, again, let's just stop there. We can stop there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back. We'll mumble to the phone when they make a big trade. And yeah, man, go Bucks.